Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, the April 2018 edition. So just a recap from last week, we went over a letter from the editor, from CEO. So yeah, the letter from the editor, CEO, Linda Johnson Rice. We also went over from the culture edition of We've Got the Power, where a group of black women helped Democrats clinch astounding victories in the midterm elections last year, specifically in Alabama. And then finally, we went over a man's journey to overcoming the devastation of sexual abuse. And what he's stating in this particular article is that Oprah threw him a lifeline. He appeared on Oprah during the time that Tyler Perry appeared on there, and that was back in 2010. And he's saying that, you know, by him telling his truth, that he was able to overcome some of the abuses. And he's, you know, has a documentary, I think, coming out sometime this year, if I'm not mistaken. So we're actually a memoir that he has coming out, and it's called Behind the Shades. So let's move on now that we're up to date. We're going to continue on with the cultural section of the magazine, and it's titled Hashtag Goals. Power Play. One CEO's quest to fill a need is fueled by kinetic energy and business savvy. So think about the moment of energy needed to power all the lights in your house and electronic devices. No doubt your energy provider is hooking you up, but what would you do if you lived in a place that couldn't afford to build a power station? To solve the problem, Jessica O. Matthews, the 29-year-old CEO and founder of Uncharted Power, invented a technology that allows users to tap into kinetic energy as a power source. It's energy that's on-demand energy, that democratized, that's decentralized. It's everywhere, she says. As a dual citizen of Nigeria and the United States, Matthews knows firsthand the importance of having access to reliable energy source. When the power goes out in Nigeria, residents have to rely on a diesel generator for energy, while those who live in rural areas have to rely on kerosene lamps. During one of her many visits to Nigeria, she came up with the idea of socket, a soccer ball that can use kinetic energy to generate power. Her invention would later become a creative solution to a national problem. Think about devastated areas in the U.S. left powerless after being struck by last year's hurricanes, and lead to the birth in 2011 of Uncharted Power. I've seen that what's currently out there isn't working. The power plants aren't being built fast enough. They're too expensive to be built in a way to help the over 2 billion people who don't have reliable access to power. Matthew says, it takes too long to scale. It's not convenient to get to the people who really need power. The work Uncharted Power does can be separated into two categories: infrastructure, technology, and power lamps or labs. Currently, the company is working to develop technology that can be put in the roads, underground, and can turn where we walk and drive into sources of power. Also, the company launched the Power Lab, a new initiative to encourage people pitching ideas for products. What we do is show people that literally our technology can go into anything that moves, and we give people an opportunity to actually tell us what they want us to make them, she explains. So, for example, we just launched Power Lab a couple of weeks ago, and the first initiative or innovation that we built was an energy-generating stroller. What sets Uncharted Power apart from the competition is motion based off-grid renewable energy. also called MORE technology, which allows seamless access to energy for a variety of purposes. Depending upon the item, the company will have a generator embedded into it to create power. To harness the power needed for bigger items, the item will receive a set of protocols that will tell it to regulate the necessary amount of power for the device in the area. This technology can also be used to charge devices wirelessly. Matthews studied psychology and economics at Harvard University and later received her master's degree from Harvard Business School. She's won numerous accolades. In 2016, she was Inc. magazine's 30 Under 30 list, and in 2015, she made Fortune's Most Promising Women Entrepreneurs. Today, her company has 10 patents and others that are pending. Over the years, Matthews has learned a multitude of lessons. I think that the biggest lessons I've learned are more related to people than anything else, she explains. Truly, to be a good CEO, you need to be chief psychology officer. And that doesn't just mean understanding what makes you or what makes your team tick. It also means understanding what makes yourself tick as well. In 2016, Uncharted Power launched the Harlem Tech Fund, which is a nonprofit that trains area residents in various areas of business. We do a lot of education events, teaching people how to pitch their business, bringing the United States Patent and Trademark Office to teach people how to protect their big ideas, says Matthews. We do a lot of work to bring funding and financing to different startups in the area. We were actually the first organization to bring Shark Tank casting to Harlem. So moving on to another article, continuing on with the culture section. Looks like the culture section is kind of large in this edition of Ebony. So this one is titled City Spotlight, Charmed by Charleston. Explore coastal beauty and pay tribute to history in this scenic South Carolina city. So with fragrant magnolia trees lining cobblestone streets and horse-drawn carriages passing candy-colored 19th century mansions, Charleston, South Carolina looks as though it could be the set for a historic film. But a thriving nouveau southern foodie scene, along with hip boutiques, galleries, and festivals, proves this lovely port city isn't only about the past. Indeed, although Charleston is home to Fort Sumter, where the first shots of the Civil War were fired, the city also will feature the International African American Museum in 2020. Billed as one of the most important sites in the American history, the museum will open on Gadsden Wharf, where almost half of enslaved Africans landed in the United States. It will display the overlooked experiences and contributions of the African Americans in Charleston and beyond. Another impactful event in Charleston was the horrifying 2015 massacre at the 200-plus-year-old Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is also being remembered as a tragic and cautionary touchstone in the city's history. A permanent memorial to 9 victims of the shooting attack is being designed by the same architectural team that created New York's 9/11 memorial. The status quo on this side of tragedy doesn't work anymore, says Doug Warner, which is director of media for the Charleston Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. As a result, a renewed focus on African American history has also led to the future development of an interactive map of Black history sites on the Charleston Peninsula called the Charleston Justice Journey, as well as fresh prominence for established attractions. They include the Denmark Vesey Monument dedicated to the carpenter who bought his freedom and then plotted a slave revolt that was thwarted. Philip Simons Museum Home in honor of the famous blacksmith and, of course, Mother Emmanuel AME Church, which was founded in 1816 by free blacks, including V.C. Charleston boasts an African-American population of 26.9%, but the evidence of black impressions on the city's culture and history reveals a much deeper or bigger influence. The signature dishes of shrimp and grits and she-crab soup owe much to the traditions of the Gullah Geechee people, who were transported from West Africa enslaved to grow rice in the South Carolina Low Country. Visitors can sample authentic Gullah cuisine at down-home restaurants, including Bertha's Kitchen, Hannibal's Kitchen, and Martha Lou's Kitchen. Yes, there's a lot of Southern hospitality on tap in this welcoming kitchens. From February 28th through March the 4th, that's when they allowed people to be able to try flavors at the Charleston Wine Food Festival. The festival looks like that they end up in Gullah in Geechee Mon Tours. I guess hopefully I'm saying this correctly. Gullah in Geechee Mon Tours, which is in St. Helena Island. It's about an hour and a half of Charleston. St. Helena Island beckons with deep-seated Gullah history and lore. Sealand is where Julie Dash filmed the seminal feature Daughters of the Dusk. And the island bus tour will take you to important cultural sites, including the historic Penn Center, where Martin Luther King Jr. wrote his iconic I Have a Dream speech. And then the Blessing of the Fleet and Seafood Festival. Looks like that's going to start on April the 29th. This is where you can join the Mount Pleasant, South Carolina tradition of paying tribute to the area's shrimp and fishing industries. Enjoy a boat parade and the ceremonial blessing of the fleet, as well as seafood delicacies, live music, and crafts with the Charleston Harbor as a backdrop. So moving on to beauties. So we're finally in another section titled Beauty Diaries with Asia Naomi King. So as a law student, Michaela Pratt on the hit ABC series, How to Get Away with Murder, Asia Naomi King is no stranger to strong female roles. The 33-year-old Los Angeles native and Yale grad is set to star as Ifra Ahmed in the female empowerment film, A Girl from Mogadishu. I guess that's how you pronounce it, Mogadishu, a biopic based on the international activist's extraordinary journey, escaping war-torn Somalia and gender-based violence. And as a celebrity face and spokesperson for L'Oreal Paris, King, a matcha hood stunner, hopes to raise the confidence of underrepresented women by helping them realize their own beauty and self-worth. The talented actress takes time out from her busy schedule to give us the lowdown on the many ways she maintains her glow up while keeping her hashtag black girl magic from melting down. So on The Secret to Her Smooth, Velvety Skin, she says that I've been moisturizing my entire body right after I get out of the shower my entire life. I can't get enough of body lotions and oils that really hydrate and nourish my skin. A recent discovery is Louis Widmer body oil from Switzerland. I love spraying it on myself. On how she keeps her shine alive. I like to take it up a notch when I'm on the red carpet, especially since you can get washed out from the heavy lights and the flashes from the photographer's cameras. I want every inch of my skin to glow. I have a glam team mix the L'Oreal Paris True Lumi Glow Armor Drops into my foundation, so my base is giving me that smooth, glowy look. Then I have them hit my shoulders, neck, and chest with the True Match Lumi Glotion so that everything pops, especially if I wear something that shows off my décolleté on her onset hair care regimen. So being on set all day for months at a time, your hair endures a lot of heat damage from blow drying and flat ironing. Having extensions really helps guard my real hair against that, but there are still precautions that need to be taken. I use L'Oreal Paris L'Vive Hair Masky weekly to repair and combat any type of damage. If I don't have time to sit with their hair mask, I'll use the L'Vive oil treatment to really get to the roots of whatever protective style I may be wearing. On her Instagram crush, I follow Kalana Barfield Brown. She loves to play with makeup. She's another brown skin girl like me, and it's really fun to see what looks she does. And on her nighttime ritual, in the evening, I remove the makeup from the day with the cleansing water and follow that with a face wash. And I love rose water. It just smells nice. And finally, on where she goes to unwind, I love Pause Float Studio in Culver City. It's so relaxing. They specialize in flotation therapy where you lay in water in sensory deprivation tanks, and they have private saunas you can sit in by yourself. It's great because you can just go there and take time for yourself to reflect and cut out all the noise. In this day and age, we are all so plugged in and attached to our devices that we don't take the time to just sit in stillness and be with ourselves. So on to another article. Let's see. One of the featured articles is Hindsight. Actress Aisha. I hope I'm saying her name right. It's either pronounced Aisha or Aisha, but I think it's Aisha. Actress Aisha Hines' gift for storytelling shines through in the memorable character she brings to life. Aisha Hines discovered early on that she was a storyteller. As a kid, she says she became adept at making her peers laugh by regaling them with tales in which she was the punchline in order to wrest the power to sling barbs at her away from them. Call it the first chapter of the Brooklyn, New York-born actress' own captivating story. I was probably not the girl that the guys would cattail to or thought was the cutest or the prettiest, so I was teased a lot, Hines says. I started to make fun of myself before they could make fun of me. And it became my own little routine, my little stand-up, where I was entertaining all my friends at my own expense, she says, laughing. Growing pains notwithstanding, Hines' narrative has behind her from a precocious teen with rough edges to the accomplished, confident performer she is today. One who has slayed with portrayals of icons such as Harriet Tubman and Fannie Lou Hamer, and who has brought that same dignity to a host of other memorable characters. The latest installment of Hines' storytelling has her starring in the Fox television drama 9-1-1, which scored big ratings in its January debut and received a second season orally after only 2 episodes aired. Starring with a powerhouse ensemble that includes Angela Bassett, Peter Cross, and Connie Britton, Hines delivers a nuanced performance as Henrietta Hen Wilson, a Los Angeles firefighter paramedic who bonds with her crew as well as with friend and police officer Athena Grant, played by Bassett. Hines likens working with this lauded group to attending a master class. Although she's in the driver's seat when transporting her team of first responders to the scene of an emergency, she remembers a time when a 16-year-old Aisha was in need of rescue. While walking home from school, Hines was hit by a stray bullet. She had pretty much pushed the experience of the back of her mind, but was reminded of it when she was asked during a TV interview if she herself had ever called 911. After some hesitation, it hit me. Like, Aisha, when you were 16 years old, you were lying in the back of the very thing you drive now on 911. it all came flooding right back to me, which was sort of great because now when I work on the show, I sort of take that visual and that experience with me because there was so much anxiety, Hen says. I remember they put me up on the stretcher, then loaded me in the ambulance. The people sitting on that stool by the side are like your lifeline, you know? You're looking into their eyes and hoping that they will just feed life into you so you can make it to the hospital and get out so you can move into the next phase of your care. So it is definitely something I take with me and reflect upon a little bit more now. However, the experience that really defined her teen years was entering the prestigious LaGuardia High School of Music and Art and Performing Arts in the New York City. Encouraged to audition for a spot at LaGuardia by her tap instructor, Hens improvised monologue lauded her a place alongside such as future stars as Omar Epps, Adrian Brody, Bokeem Woodbine, and Sarah Paulson. Still acting as a potential career didn't really register in her mind. It only became real, I think, when I started to see the people I was going to school with on the television screen and on big screens, Hen says. So the dots started to connect. After studying theater at the University of Miami, Hens was fully hooked and returned home to New York City, degree in hand with every intention of taking Broadway by storm. But after a period of relentless networking while working her survival jobs, doing stage readings and filling backstage positions, she began to question whether she was on the right path. I sort of ran out of steam, she says the actress, and I was like, this is probably not what I'm supposed to be doing. So I walked away from it. I made this grand exit from it by writing a letter to everyone who had been supportive of me, my teachers, my professors, all of my friends in the business and not in the business who had been cheering me on, my church leaders. I was just like, guys, I'm leaving the business I had yet to break into laughs. I remember asking people to pray for me to figure out my purpose. I was incredibly unsettled during that time. I'm waiting for the sign of what is it I'm supposed to do, Hens recall. That went on for about a year, and during the walking away is when I think I had the aha moment that told me that this is what you're supposed to do. Because there was nothing else that inspired me to wake up and grind as hard as doing this thing. So I returned to it. I went back to the casting service backstage and started the submissions again. Then came another event, 9/11, Hens says. That was also one of those defining moments. I was working on Wall Street at the time at an online magazine. That day I called in late because, again, it was one. She said, so going back to the sentence, she says that this paragraph. So then came another event, 9/11. Hen says that was also one of those defining moments. I was working on Wall Street at the time of an online magazine or at an online magazine. That day I called in late because, again, it was one of the original. It was one of those things where it was hard for me to go to my survival jobs because I wasn't inspired to go. So I was late chronically. And thankfully, I was because I worked at 14 Wall Street. And had I had gone on that at that time I was supposed to go, I would have been on the train underground when those towers came down and likely trapped or would have not made it. I think 9/11 sort of stopped everyone in their tracks and reminded us to really ask ourselves, are we living our life? Because life is so fragile. So Hines packed up and followed her calling to L.A. After a number of events, she sums up accepting a job as stage manager on a play, which in turn gave her an opportunity to understand for one weekend, which led to a furious round of networking and invites, which reconnected her with high school friend Paulson, who wound up connecting her with the representation that eluded her in New York. The die was cast. that marked the beginning of the end of survival jobs and the start of a career which the actress says she takes a little from each character she portrays to inform the next. And with her 911 role, she even sees a little of herself in Hen, which the actress describes as a nurturer with a big heart. That heart, like her own, Hen says, is wide open. Okay, so we're finished with that article. And let's move on to another article. Looks like we're running out of time. And so let me see if I can find a short article to take us out. So the next article in hand is Having Our Say. Hashtag MeToo movement exposes sexual harassment, inequality of women in the workplace. Long before the creation of a hashtag or a tweet, sexual assaults and workplace harassment directed at women were occurring at alarming rates. Yet they were underreported, often silenced by shame and fear. Most victims quietly carried the burden, suffering from depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other mental and physical challenges. Tarana Burke, a survivor of sexual harassment, was one of those people. But in 2006, she used a social networking website, MySpace, to raise awareness about the issue by using two words, Me Too. It took several high-profile sexual misconduct allegations involving entertainment heavyweights such as Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, and Russell Simmons, among others, to make people hear those muted voices. Burke's moment 12 years ago birthed a movement last year when her two-word declaration gave way to Me Too after actress Alyssa Milano encouraged those who endured sexual harassment or assault to profess the words using the hashtag. Every 98 seconds, an individual is sexually assaulted, according to figures from the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization. The majority of the sexual assault victims are under age 30, but the highest risk years for rape and sexual assault are between ages 12 and 34, reports RAIN. During fiscal 2017, a total of 6,696 charges alleging sexual harassment were filed, according to the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. In ABC News, Washington Post poll from last year showed that more than half of U.S. women have experienced unwanted and inappropriate sexual advances. Findings also revealed how 3 in 10 have put up with unwanted advances from male coworkers, and 1/4 have endured them from men who have influence over their work situation. As a result of the Me Too movement, the movement Time's Up was founded this year and charged by women to address sexual harassment and systematic inequality by examining how one's gender, race, socioeconomic class, sexuality, and other characteristics can result in different forms of our circumstances surrounding the treatment they experience in the workplace. TV producer extraordinaire Shonda Rhimes and Tina Cheen, former chief of staff to Michelle Obama, are Time's Up campaign supporters. The following two women got sick and tired of being sick and tired. They did something about the unwanted sexual advances they encountered on their jobs. One woman filed a 2003 sexual harassment retaliation lawsuit against an assistant police chief in St. Louis Police Department. The other filed a 1997 sexual harassment lawsuit against the Ford Motor Company in Chicago. So it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Ebony Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time.